There you go.
Thank you. Good morning, brothers and sisters. My name is Teresa. This is my husband, Alan, Albertan citizen that I stole from you all and brought to New York. Now, most people think he's a New Yorker up here and think I'm the Canadian. It's the other way around. But don't we serve an awesome God? Amen. What an awesome, I just felt the Holy Spirit just come down. I was just like, it's hot in here. The Holy Spirit has come to see us. I'm not here to preach to you, but I'm here to open your eyes and your hearts to our kids in the States. Luke 4:24. Sorry, my notes here. See, this was just a trip to see my new granddaughter, okay, but God had other plans. He turned it into a mission trip. So amongst trying to meet new family and friends, try to write something to share with you folks. So, you know, God's got his sense of humor, and I just had to follow his rules. So, like I said, I'm just not here to preach. I just want to open your hearts. And in Luke 4:24, God, Jesus says, "Assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country." And that is so true. In Canada, there are 3,400 cities. In the United States, we have about approximately 20,000. And the city that we work in is the ninth worst, as you heard in the video. And that's really horrible. It's just everything that you've seen there is on a daily basis. It's not a monthly basis. It's not a yearly basis. A good day at the ministry is when we don't have to call the cops to the buildings. As you saw, our storefront, on the sides of our storefront, we have the crack dealers and we have the drug dealers. It's just horrible for those kids. They walk around so sad, and you can see in their eyes that there is no hope there. And that's what we're there for, is to bring them hope. And in Titus 2:3-5, it says, "The older woman likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things." Well, I fall into that category of the older women. And I have a serious responsibility to the young women and children in the city of Newburgh. They are not going to learn life lessons through society. And they're definitely not going to learn about our Lord. So it's up to me in my walk with the Lord Jesus Christ to make sure that they have the opportunity to make that choice. Most of our children about 2 years ago, we had a group baptism, and all our children have accepted the Lord. They made that conscious decision and have been baptized. So we've baptized 25 of our children altogether. They're not actually, we call them our kids and children, but they're ages 9 to 18. They're aware of what they were. We had baptism classes, so they know exactly what they were doing and accepted that responsibility. And they're such awesome prayers. Our kids are in serious need of help and hope. The hope we show them that they can get through Jesus Christ. The harvest is plenty, but the workers and the funding are few. Our government refuses to help us because we do pray. Because we won't sign a paper that states we'll let our kids decide on their own not to pray. And that's not for us to make that decision. It's theirs. And our decision is to make our children pray, to know that there is a God, that there is hope, that there is faith, that there is somebody above all that loves them. So we won't sign that little paper that says we won't let them pray. We have integrity, our integrity that Jesus gave us, to say, no, we're not going to follow your rules. And we've been there. Pastor Rose had started in 2010. I've been with her since 2011, walking side by side. And the city still shakes their heads, and the politicians still shake their heads, not knowing how we pay the rent, not knowing how we have everything that we need, not knowing that God blessed me with a vehicle one summer when I worked for nothing and just volunteered, me and my son, and somebody handed me the keys to a car and say, "Here you go, this is from Jesus." The blessings that we receive are so abound that they still walk around shaking their heads. They don't know how we have not kept, how have not closed. They don't understand that we are totally funded by Jesus Christ. We had one month we were short $500 on our rent. And our kids are so great. God hears the little ones. It's just so amazing. Whatever our children pray for, God delivers. One day we prayed for the rent. Lord, simple prayer. We're short $500, Lord. You know the landlord's kind, but he needs his rent. maybe 15 minutes later, on our door, there's this man coming in a wheelchair who cannot even walk. He had it mouth controlled. Comes in and says, "Here you go. God put this on my heart to give this to you." So do we guess how much it is? $500. The miracles that we see at our building, I know I'm doing the right thing. Because if not, God wouldn't be there. The Holy Spirit wouldn't be there. We don't want for any things. Never do we want. We want for money, but that's everybody. But as far as, someone will say, "Hey, we need butter. Oh, we prayed the other day for juice." Lady walks 2 days later, 50 gallons of juice that her church collected for us. We were down to our last bottle. It's just, and the city just walks around going, "How do they do it? How do they do it? How do they do it?" And we just go, "We're Jesus funded. We don't need you." You know, and they don't like that. We don't need them. We're not dependent on them. But we're dependent on God our Father, because he's the best provider there ever was. He provides everything for us. Everything. From the smallest thing to the largest thing, he provides. And the miracles go on and on. Let me finish that note. I'm sorry. It's like, I would have definitely been more well prepared, but God was like, "Nope, sit down tonight. That's it. Sit down and start writing stuff." But on a side note, not only does he help us in his ministry, but just in a personal note, I have 4 children, my own children. I have several, a lot of stepchildren. I have a 34-year-old daughter, 32-year-old daughter, 28-year-old son, 19-year-old son. Well, my 28-year-old son, Anthony, he was addicted to cocaine many years, to the point that he had to quit or die. As a mom, I couldn't make that decision for him. He solely had to make that decision. Even though I wanted to help him, I knew I couldn't, and all I could do was pray and call on the promises of the Lord that God made to me in Matthew 17, which states, "Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as much as a mustard seed, and you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." And I, after several years of praying and dedicating to the Lord's work through the ministry, my son Anthony took that one little tiny step. Just one tiny step. That tiny step as small as a mustard seed. And he said, "I'm done," and he entered rehab. Scared to choose life. He was scared. He had that faith of a mustard seed. The tiniest seed in the entire world is the mustard seed. But he had that little bit of faith. And Jesus took care of the rest. He was scared of the withdrawals and the horror stories from what he'd heard from other people. But because he had that little bit of faith, Jesus met him right at that tiny step and took away everything from him. This past July, he's 1 year sober, 1 year clean. Also, thank you, Jesus. That was a hard prayer for a long time. But the Holy Spirit touched him. And now he preaches. It's amazing. He went from car dealership to preaching for the Lord. Now people are actually calling him to speak at their business, to speak at their AA, which we have in the States, and NA, which is Narcotic Anonymous. And I saw the Holy Spirit had touched him, that he glows, and all he did was take that. That's all he did. And God did the rest. Took everything away from him, took the pain, took the withdrawals, took the horror stories away. And it's funny because now he's like, "I have a whole life. I don't have to stay here anymore because I know this is where I can get my coke and this is where I can get my pills and this is where I can get everything. I have a life now." He's met a nice girl. He'll be getting engaged. And also now she's actually a social worker. So God put the two of them together. And now God gave him a vision, and it's called Broken Vessels. And that's, just hold this. That's what it is. We are vessels that God has made us, okay? We're the clay, he's the potter, okay? But a vessel, no light can get in. But once your vessel is broken, and you can see the light, and the light comes in. So if anybody's broken, now's your time to take that little tiny step, because that's all you have to do. And God will meet you right there. And he will take away the pain, and he'll take away the horror stories, and he'll take away everything from you and give you life. He'll give you a new life in eternity, and he'll give you a new life in this earth that you can see. So this is what we try to give to our kids. We try to give them a life. We give them a life in heaven through Jesus Christ. Obviously, it's not us. We just plant all these little seeds. All these little seeds in these little minds that they would never get anywhere else. God's love is amazing, and all we have to do is just take that first tiny step. And it was funny because there was something on my way down that I saw on Facebook, because I'm a big Facebook fan. And it says, no matter how far you have come down the wrong road, it is never too late to turn around and start a new journey on the right road.
Amen.
And that's with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you. It was wonderful meeting all of you, and thank you so much for having us here and our kids. If you want to talk to me later, we'll be outside. We have newsletters if you want to see anything about our kids. And God bless you all. Thank you.
Amen.
Bless you guys.
Short introduction. I just want to introduce my brother, Ken. Kenny, why don't you stand up? Stand up. This is my biological brother. Amen. Thanks, Kenny. Amen. Pastor Stan. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord God. God, but for your grace, and grace alone, Lord God, we had all be just so in dire straits, but your grace and your mercy is poured into our hearts and our lives, Lord God, and we're so grateful to you, Lord God. City of Red Deer could possibly be just like this, but except for the prayers, intercessions of people, Lord God, and I believe there's people over there praying as well, Lord God. The day's coming, Lord God, the day's coming when the mighty name of Jesus is going to be high and lifted up over that city and over this city and over Central Alberta and over this province and over this nation. God, you are going to exalt your name, Lord God. So I just pray that you'll do that this morning, Lord God, through our brother Stan, Lord God, as he preaches the word to us. Help us to hear, Lord God, what you have to say to each of us. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Let your anointing be upon him. Amen.
Thanks. Amen. God bless you guys. That was encouraging to hear that. I think that we share a kinship with you and with the work you do in the streets. And we know how hard it is, but we also know how rewarding it is. And we continue to pray for you. Amen. Dawn, there's a couple people have just a few things that we want to deal with this morning. And Dawn's mother passed away this week. You go ahead, tell the story a little bit.
Okay. The first most important lady in my life died Friday morning at 108. She suffered tremendously the last while. I saw her in July, and I said goodbye to her. The Lord was telling me, this is the last time, Dawn. And I put my hand on her forehead, and I prayed for her, and I said, Mom, we'll see you someday in heaven. Mm-hmm. She accepted the Lord at 85 years old, went to church all her life, and didn't know Jesus. Didn't know the born-again message. So constantly promote John 3:3, born again, changed my life at 57. She accepted the Lord the same year as I did, 22 years ago. And she's in heaven walking on streets of gold. Oh, street, I mean, Doug, just one street. One street of gold. God bless.
Amen. Let's pray. We should just pray about this, right? God, thank you for the assurance and for the reminder that we belong to you. I thank you, God, that this is encouraging to hear that even at 85, someone can come and know you and invite you in and serve you for the remainder of her life. Lord, 108 years old, what a life, amazing. Yeah. So we just pray, God, today that you would open your arms and welcome her into your heavenly kingdom. Thank you for everything that she did for Dawn and for the example that she set. And we just celebrate this, God. We celebrate a life that was well-lived because it was lived for Jesus. And we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, bro.
Amen. And Mike, you want to come up a minute? Isn't God good? We sang that today, right? You believe that, right? He is good. He's such a good God. Mike, I'm just going to give you the mic, and you explain a little bit of what's going on, and we're going to pray for you. And okay.
I had a supernatural experience I need to tell you about. I was in a rage on Monday, and God showed me the demon that caused it. It was brownish red. It had a contorted face. It was growling and snarling. And I still get shaky when I think about it. But demons are very real. That's all I got.
What happened after that?
Well, I went to Hope Mission, and they prayed for me. And I got very shaky. Tears started flowing. And God has given me the skills to send it back to the pit.
Yeah, amen. Woo. That's right.
When I get angry now, I say, evil spirit, I'm a child of God. In the name of Jesus, I will not get angry.
Amen. Good words.
Amen. So would you come with me? Just walk with me. Jerry, I want you to pray for him. I know you got a soft spot in your heart for Mike. And, you know, what we're doing here today is we're just recognizing that not everything comes to us from a natural source. Some things come from supernatural, and that there are demons. There's attacks. Sometimes the enemy has assignments. Sometimes he says, I'm going to literally target you or target this or go against this. And Mike's come up this morning and said, hey, you know what? I used to deal with anger. I used to have this rage. It would just rage in me. And what you said to me earlier was that I now recognize that's not just some kind of mental disorder. This is a literal attack of the enemy. And we want to just stand on what the Word of God says, which is that we stand against this, that this is a demonic force, that we are going to agree with you today and say no longer is this demonic force going to take over Mike's life, and that we claim victory and we claim the peace. And that's really the important thing. The peace of Jesus is going to just reign in Mike. So, Jerry, would you mind just praying for our brother?
Well done up there, Mike. Hey. Good men around the ranch to share with people. That's good stuff for sure. We have to hear that too. And Father, your word that comes to mind is this, that when these things attack us from the enemy, your word says, submit ourselves to you, right, Lord God. We can resist the devil and he will flee. But we can only do it by your word and your spirit. And I thank you and bless you, Lord Jesus, that Mike took that route and he submitted to you, as we all must submit, because you are, as the words say up front, you are the way, the truth, and the life. And you will never leave us, never forsake us, but you will continually support us. We thank you for that. We give you the praise and give you the glory for who you are and for what you're so willing to do in our lives. And we thank you. In the precious name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. I just want to add to that, God, that you would set this man free in the name of Jesus. We believe in the power of the name of Jesus. And he has testified, he's confessed with his mouth this morning what's going on. And he has confessed that Jesus is his Lord. And so in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just command that he would be filled only with the power of God, only with the Holy Spirit, and that emptiness, that gap that's in his life because that demon is gone, is going to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord. May he be filled with joy. May he be filled with peace. Your shalom, your peace in Mike's life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
It's good, right? Am I on? Can you hear that or not? 1, 2, check, check, check. You hear that? Okay. I think I'm on. Yeah. So, I'm going to listen to God's word today, and I have a bit from the Old Testament to start with, and then into the New Testament, but I just feel like I got to pray for me. Is that okay? So, just a minute. Just join me in this. So, God, thank you. Thank you for your word. Lord, you have a plan, you have a purpose. I know, God, that you have something that you want to teach us from your scriptures, from your word today. We come here, every single one of us, we're hungry, we're needy. We need you, God, and we've searched for all kinds of other, in all kinds of other places. We want to come to Jesus today. We want to embrace you and just accept what you have for us, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you that your word speaks so clearly. And we ask, Lord, that you'd feed us today. We come here, Lord, different people come with different needs. There's different things that we would pray today that you would help us. We need your help. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. So, Lord, we turn to you today, and we ask that you'd be real. In this place right now, just be real. You are a God who speaks clearly. You're a God of revelation. It means that you're a God who wants to be known. So, Lord, open your eyes. Open our eyes just to see you and to hear what you would whisper into our ear today. And remind us today how much you love us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. In Exodus chapter 15, we have the story there of the Israelites in the desert. This was one of those pivotal stories. It was a story that got told over and over and over again because it was such an important thing that happened in the history of the Israelites, that they went through the desert. You know, for 40 years they went through the desert. And while they went through the desert, God provided for them over and over and over again. In the story we have in Exodus 15, we're going to put it on the screen if you don't have your Bibles, but it's that story about how God provided. They didn't have food, right? It's hard to find food in the desert. And God provided them with manna. You've heard of manna before. I don't know if you know the whole story, but it was basically, you know, the Israelites saying, "We need food, God," and they started to grumble. And God says, "Well, I'll provide the food." And so he sent quail at night, so they had meat at night. And he sent the bread, the manna, which is actually a wafer. It was like a wafer. It fell like snow onto the ground every morning with the dew. It would be, they'd find it and they would gather it in the morning like it was really, it was a sweet kind of a wafer is sort of the definition of manna in the Hebrew. And so they would have that bread every morning. So let's just read about that. And I'm going to read from Exodus 16, verse 4. Exodus 16, verse 4. Do you guys have that on the scripture or not? Here we go. So the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are going to go out each day and gather enough for that day. And in this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. And on the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." The reason for that is they weren't supposed to gather on the seventh day. So on the sixth day, they were able to gather double the amount. And so Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that we should grumble against the Lord?" And then just a few verses later we read, and this is verse 17, that the Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much and some gathered little. Just stop there a minute. They didn't all have the same needs, right? Some only needed a little bit. Others were maybe gathering for their whole families. They were only supposed to gather enough for that day, and that was the important thing. And later on, they didn't do that. Some of them started to hoard it, and they started to, you know, gather it and say, "Well, I'm going to have enough for a whole week here. You know, it's kind of silly to go out here every day and gather. I'm going to gather." And God got angry with them. He said, "No, that's not what I told you to do. I told you that I'm going to give you enough every day. I'm going to provide the bread from heaven. I'm going to provide the manna, and you get your bowl and you fill it, and that's what you have. Is that mount for that day, but you don't get to, except for the sixth day, then you can gather twice because I don't want you going up on Sunday. I want you to keep that, or the Sabbath day, I want you to keep that holy." He says, otherwise you only take what you should take, what you need for that day. Okay. Just kind of keeping that in mind. So verse 17, the Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. Each one gathered as much as they needed. And then Moses said to them, "No one is to keep any of it until the morning. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses, and they kept part of it until the morning, but it was full of maggots, and it began to smell. And so Moses was angry with them. And there's 100 other things we could read here. There's a lot. This is really a cool story. And like I said, it's a story that was told from generation to generation to generation. You know, a father would tell his son, and he would tell his son, remember when the Lord provided for us. Remember when he sent the bread from heaven. Remember when he gave that as an amazing gift, and he answered our prayers. And that God, it's sort of the message, the theme today is, you know, God provides. God's a good God. God doesn't want us to starve. God gives us what we need. And that's what, you know, our sister Teresa said this morning as well. God gives us what we need. He gives us what we need for this particular day. And he is a providing and a good God. He's such a good God. So now in the New Testament, if you got your Bibles, this time in Corinthians, God's been just leading me. And I just encourage you, actually, read 2 Corinthians this week. I've been reading that over and over again, and it is just so full of wonderful, wonderful teaching. And it's really a story about how Paul, who writes Corinthians, just how he struggled. You know, if you read Corinthians, you read about the times that he was beaten, the times he was shipwrecked, the times he was hungry, the times he was persecuted. I mean, this guy, he went through it all. You think your life is tough, read 2 Corinthians. You'll find out what it's like to be a missionary for God. He faced so much opposition. He had, later on he says, I think it's in Corinthians 13 or 14, he says, I had the thorn in my flesh, and that the enemy, Satan, was a messenger. He sent this, whatever this thorn was, he had this incredible thing he had to deal with that was very painful. He says, but I asked three times, I'll read it, it's 12, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take this thorn away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. You feeling weak today? Well, let me tell you, God's power is made perfect in your weakness. And then he goes on, he says, therefore, Paul says, I'm going to boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness. Can you say that today? I have a hard time sometimes with this. I delight in weakness. I delight in insults. I delight in hardships. I delight in persecutions and in difficulties. I delight. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Right? I know I'm all over the place. No, let's get to the part where I meant to get to before. First part of Corinthians. Corinthians 1, verse 8. Again, in the context that Paul was suffering, that he was persecuted, that he faced so much hardship in his life. Here's what we read in verse 8 of 2 Corinthians 1. He says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships that we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to bear, or far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Wow. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened so that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him, we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. I'm not going to be able to talk about this much, but just, you know, get this today. It's about prayer. As you help us by your prayers, how powerful it is when we pray for each other. We care enough about each other that we're going to pray for each other. Paul said, you help us by your prayers, and then many will give thanks on our behalf for our gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers, in answer to the prayers of many. You say amen to that? If you can keep that on the screen, that'd be great. Because that's kind of what we're going to focus on today. We live in a world where everything, you know, especially this time of the year, it's such a consumer-driven world, right? And we're already getting, you know, the Black Friday, and we're already getting all the ads out there, and there's so much, you know, when you start listening to these ads and you start looking at what they're trying to sell us. It makes you feel like there's just so much that's missing in my life. There's so many toys, so many things I don't have, and the commercials keep reminding me, boy, I need these things. And our kids are, I think, even worse. They're very vulnerable to that. And why don't I just have you think about this thought for a minute, that there's a difference between being full and being satisfied. There's really a difference between being full and being content, is another good word for that. If you ever go for Chinese food, anyone like Chinese food? Jerry goes to a place he calls the Piggy Palace. We won't mention where that place is, but if you ever go to Chinese food, you know, you got the opportunity when you go to Chinese food, you can fill out, especially at the buffet, right? You can fill up that bowl as many times as you want. And some people go back two and go back three times. I try not to go back too many times. But one thing about Chinese food is even when I'm done with Chinese food, I'm still not quite done. It just feels like I'm full. You get that sense of, you know, I'm full, but there's just still something not there, right? There's still something missing, and so I need that little cookie. You know, let's get the fortune cookie. And then you get the fortune cookie, and as you're going out and you pay the bill, oh, there's the peppermints. I better grab a peppermint too, you know? So you get that idea, right, that you're full. There's the sense of I'm full but not really happy, right? Not really satisfied, not really content. And we have a whole world that's that way. We have kids who, you know, maybe your kids are this way. You got a whole room full of toys, right? You got all the toys. We even got rooms called the toy room. My grandkids have toy rooms. My kids were lucky to have bedrooms, but they got they got toy rooms, and yet there's not enough, right? There's still more toys that we want, more things that we need, or we think that we need. And that's just sort of the reality of where we live today. And one of the things that the Bible teaches, and I want to focus on today and just sort of bring this out for you today, is that really the only way that we find true satisfaction, the only way that we find real contentment in life, is through Jesus Christ. And you can go all kinds of other places to try to find that satisfaction, to try to find that contentment, to try to find what you think is missing in your life. And people go to the bottle, and they go to gambling, and they'll go to, you know, all kinds of other relationships or whatever. We'll search, right? We will do this. We will go and we'll look all over the place. But the reality is, and here's one of the main tenets of the Christian faith, is that the only place where we really are going to find satisfaction, the only place where I'm really going to achieve this contentment, really the word is peace. And in the Hebrew word, it's a shalom, and it means so much more than peace. It means wholeness. It means a deep-seated joy. It means that I've been fed till I want no more, like that old song, feed me till I want no more. Bread of heaven, bread of heaven. That's shalom. It's hard. It's one of those words that's really hard to get a good definition of. But that can only come through Jesus. It can't come through a drug. It can't come even a good pill that the pharmacist gives you. It really isn't going to give you what they say it's going to give you. Only real contentment comes through Jesus Christ. And I want to just share a couple of scriptures for you that sort of back this up. In one, Psalm 107, here's what David wrote in Psalm 107. He said, there were some, he's talking about all these different categories of people. Some people who are addicted in 107, some people are depressed in Psalm 107. And this is the beginning, he says in verse 4, there are some people who wandered in a desert. If you feel like you've wandered in a desert, we all know that. We've been in a desert before. He says, they couldn't find their way to the city. They were hungry and they were thirsty. Their lives ebbed away. And they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let us give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and for his wonderful deeds for men. Now get this. For he satisfies the thirsty. And he fills the hungry with good things, right? It comes from God. What people are looking for, and maybe some of us have been there before, but there's a whole world out there who aren't here today, and they need to hear this message too. But what people are out there looking for, what they're hungry for, there's this insatiable appetite can only be attained through Jesus Christ, the Son whom the Father sent, who is the bread of heaven. Right? He's the bread of heaven. In John, I'll give you another verse here. In John chapter 6, it's Jesus who said this. Jesus said in John 6 verse 34, he declared this. He said, I am the bread of heaven. I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me will never grow hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Isn't that good? I am the bread of life. If you come to me, Jesus said, you come to me, you're never going to be hungry. If you believe in me, you'll never be thirsty. The only way to quench that hunger or to quench that thirst is in Jesus Christ. It isn't through toys. It isn't through knowledge. It isn't through Chinese food, right? It isn't through Chinese food. It isn't through drugs or booze or gambling or the casinos. The only way to real contentment, to real peace, is through Christ. I am the bread of life, he says. I'm the bread of life. I am. What the Israelites did in the Old Testament, and they received the manna every single day, that bread of life of the Old Testament, when my people were wandering for 40 years through the desert. And by the way, they ate manna. You know how many years they ate manna for? For 40 years. He said, that is the same bread of life now in the New Testament is Jesus Christ. And even though a lot of people don't understand this, people don't get it, Maybe many of us do here, but a lot of people out there aren't getting it. What you're really hungry for, what you are really hungry for is Jesus. You're created, you're wired, it's in your spiritual DNA to respond to your Redeemer, to Jesus, to the one who died for you, to the one who poured his blood out. You're meant, listen to me, you are meant to worship him. You are created to do it. You're designed from the very beginning to respond to him. And there's going to be a hollowness. There's going to be an emptiness. There's always going to be something missing in your life unless you know who Jesus is. And you need to just surrender it to him and say, okay, I give up. I've been chasing all my life. I keep chasing after more money, more toys, more food, whatever it is. What we've really needed is just Jesus. So here's what I'm trying to say is being full isn't good enough. And I'm tired of living this way where you think being full, it's not about being full, it's about being content. It's not about having more. It's about just knowing who this Jesus is and having shalom, wholeness, wellness, peace, contentment, right? And actually, what I'm saying is a good thing, because this hunger, and I think there's a hunger in all of us. There's a real hunger in me, and God's been stirring this up in me. You see it in Crystal when she sang that song this morning. It's just hungry. I'm hungry for God. I'm tired of eating off of my own table. I want to eat only from the table of the Lord. I'm hungry for Jesus. I'm hungry for what the table that he sets before me. And you guys know what I'm talking about. You know what table you've been eating from. And most of that table hasn't really been much good at all, right? So this is a good thing when we have that hunger, when we acknowledge it and we recognize it. Because our appetite, that insatiable craving that I have for something in my life, that appetite is for the bread of life, who is Jesus. Amen? I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never be hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. And so God, through his son Jesus, he wants us to eat of him. He wants us to find our fulfillment and our peace, our shalom in Jesus Christ. Now here's where this sermon kind of takes a little bit of a right twist or a left twist. Because the question is, well, how does that happen? How does it happen that we get that appetite, that thirst that we have gets quenched? How does God, if God wants us to hunger for him, how does that work? And I'm going to tell you how, and you're not going to like the answer. This is how it works. It works through hard things. It's how God works. It works through the struggles that we have in this life. It works through the trials. It works through the things that are broken sometimes in our lives. Sometimes the really hard things, the health issues. Sometimes it's just the struggles and the pain and the long journey, right, that you've been on. For sure. This is how it works. And I wish I could give you a different story, but it wouldn't be the truth. The truth is, it's through the really hard things that happen in our lives that we come to know who this God really is. And where that hunger starts to be satisfied deep inside. It comes through the stuff in our life that we wish was not there. Anyone have anything in your life that you say, man, I wish that wasn't in my life? I don't want to be the only one with my hand up, okay? Thank you. Well, I want you to know this today, and this is God's word, that God allows those trials in our life. He allows that the testing sometimes in our life. He does those things so that we'll draw closer to Him. Now, one thing that we often say is that God will never allow us to go through anything. God will never allow us to go through anything that we can't bear. Amen? God will never allow us to go through anything that we will not be able to endure. Do you believe that? God will never allow us to go through any struggle or difficulty that we won't be able to escape from. You agree with that? Well, you shouldn't. Because I don't believe that's true. And here's where we're going to change some things in some of our thinking. Because we say this, and it's good Christian cheerleading, but it isn't true. And it isn't based on God's word. All right? We say this to each other. I've done this before. You put your arm around a brother, and you go, man, I know you're struggling. I know things are tough. I know that everything's going hard. But let me tell you, God, you know, you will not be going through anything here that you can't endure. You're going to be able to endure this. You'll be able to make it through this. You know, the Bible doesn't say that. It really, let me go back. Let's go back to Corinthians. Just, here's proof. What did Paul say? He said this, 2 Corinthians 1, listen to what it says. He says, indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death, but this happened so that we might not rely on ourselves. I'm sorry, back up one verse. He says, we were under great pressure. Here we go. Far beyond our ability to endure. Did you get that? So that we despaired even of life. Paul's saying, hey, we're going through a really hard time here. This is a struggle. This is not easy. It's far beyond what I can endure. I can't endure this. I cannot endure this. I can't do this on my own. And we've got to stop telling each other the lie that, yes, you can. You're going to make this. You're going to make it. You are not going to make it unless you're saying you're going to make it through God. Then you're going to make it, right? We stand up sometimes. We go, I can do all things. No, you can't. Let's get to the meat of that of what that verse really says. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? Or I am more than a conqueror. We're living that. I can do this. Chugga, 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 chugga. I can do this. I'm going to make it. I am more than a conqueror. I am more than a conqueror. No, you are not. Unless it's through Christ who gives me strength, right? Right? Paul said, this is more than I can endure. I can't. These are hardships. We can't even do this thing. And honestly, even though you might not like this message to start with, this is a good message because it should encourage you. Because I think a lot of times we're leaving church and we're going, man, all these people are somehow doing this themselves. You know, they're making it. They're living this victory. I don't want to tell them what's really going on in my life because I can't do this. I am not able to make it through this. And it's time that we acknowledge that that's actually true. You can't do this, right? You are not going to make it. Not if it's on your own. The only way we make it, the only way any of this makes any sense is if our hunger is for Jesus and our strength and our power and everything else that we need comes to us from Him. And all the rest of it, it's just Christian spiritual cheerleading. Lots of rah, 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 but it's not true. And it's okay. It really is okay to look to God and say, I can't do this. I can't raise these kids. I can't beat this addiction. I can't pay my bills. You fill in your own blank, right? I can't do this. We don't give each other permission to be truthful about that. We make it seem like with each other we've all got to man up here and just say you're going to do it, and as long as you say you're going to do it 100 times, it's bound to happen. Well, you can say it 100 times, you can say it 500 times. You cannot do this. The only way this can be done is through Christ, who gives me strength. What did Paul say? Listen, he says, well, I'll just have to read it in my Bible because I don't know where it is there. But listen, there's a reason why this is important. He says, this happens indeed in our hearts. Get this now. We felt the sentence of death. But this happens so that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God. Right? Why does this happen? Why is my life such a mess? Why am I having a hard time with my kids? Why do I struggle with this addiction? Why am I facing persecution and opposition? Why am I going through this depression or all this hard stuff in my life? This is so that I don't rely on me. And let's be honest. I have a real natural inclination to just rely on me. I think I'm going to be able to do this. But this is happening in our lives so that my hunger, I'll personalize it, so I won't put it in your mouths. But this is what the Word of God says. This happens in my life so that I don't rely on me, but so that I rely on God. It is only in God that I can be strong. Right? And even what I read earlier, right, later on, Paul says, oh, that enemy, the messenger of Satan, he's attacked me with this thorn in the flesh. But I've been so weak, and I prayed 3 times for the enemy to remove, for that to be removed. God, set me free. God, set me free. God, set me free. And the answer is still no. And then Paul says, this has happened for one reason, so that I could find my strength in Christ. For when I am weak, that's when I'm strong. You believe that? So I just want to encourage you, because there are things that you're not going to be able to endure, and that's okay. It's time for us to be honest. Sometimes we just plainly suffer. Sometimes our life situation, and I said this, I think, 2 weeks ago, everybody has a situation. I don't know, I got a situation, but so do you. And sometimes our life situation changes because of God, because of some amazing thing happens. I'm not discounting that. But let's also be honest that sometimes our situation doesn't seem to change very quickly. And that is because God wants us to rely on Him. He wants us to rely. He wants us to trust in Him. And Paul goes on to say, you know, really what Christ has done for me, he says, is he's raised me from the dead. I'm no longer dead. He's raised me from the dead. We despaired even of life, he says. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure. We despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happens so that we might not rely on ourselves, but that we're going to rely on God. What does God want? He wants us to go, you know, I am all in, God. I'm all on you. I trust you. I can't do this. I fall on my knees. I'm hungry just for you, Jesus. I am not going to depend on me. I've learned. I've learned the hard way. I'm not very dependable. But I've also learned that, Jesus, you are trustworthy, right? Isn't that right, Doug? You're trustworthy. You're my God. You're my King. I can't do this on my own. I can pretend. I can walk like I'm making it. I can put on the facade. I'm doing this. You are not doing it. And God says, I just want you to put your hope in me. Only I can do it. It's so that we don't think that we are able to do it ourselves. Amen? The cry of a hungry man is not, where is my supper? The cry of a hungry man is, where is my God? Amen. Where is my God? My hope, I love what Paul says when he says, we have set our hope in Him. He has delivered us. He has delivered me from such deadly peril. Do you guys know that? Have you experienced that? He has delivered you from death, really. I mean, and death can come in all kinds of forms in our life. It can come through, you know, the normal things that we think about, sickness or drugs or whatever. But we stand here today, we praise God today, we say, He has delivered me from deadly peril. My God has brought me from death to life. How many of you have been brought from death to life? Amen? That's good news. That's good news. Hang on to that. Sometimes, you know, we think that the most crazy miracle, the most powerful thing must be when God literally brings someone who's dead back to life. Jesus did that a number of times, right? And we think about all the miracles, and we want good miracles. We want to see healings, and we want to see some amazing things happen. And we go, and man, the best one would be, I mean, the hardest one for God must be when someone is dead as a doornail, and God makes them alive, right? Oh, let's see that. But I think that God says, man, that's easy to do. You think that bringing people who are literally dead alive, to make them alive, that that's hard? That's not hard. That's easy because I can just do that by blowing. And I can breathe life into people with breath. I made a woman, God says. I made a woman out of a rib. So, you know, bringing someone from death to life, that's not very hard, actually. What's hard is bringing someone who's dead in their addiction or dead in their old life or dead in their selfishness and making that person alive. You know why it's harder? Because He needs to do that with us. He doesn't just do it for us. He does it with us. He says, come, I want to walk with you. And I'm going to heal you. I'm going to bring you back to life. And it's not just that you were dead in a coffin. I'm going to bring you out of your sin. I'm going to bring you out of your selfishness. I'm going to bring you out of your pride. I'm going to bring you out of the death of your situation. You are in a situation, or you have been in a situation. I'm going to bring you to a new life, in a new situation, in a new way. And that is way, way harder for me because it's going to take both of us to be a part of this. I want a relationship with you. Amen. Thanks. Amen. Okay, I'm not done yet, so don't be blessing me too quick. I'm going to get done, though. And the cry of our hungry hearts is that my hope is in God. And you know what? At the end of it all, that's all we have, is to be able to, you know, whatever your situation, whatever struggles, whatever the hard things are in your life, the cry is, I only have hope one place. And I've learned the hard way that the hope isn't here. It's not in me. My hope is really only in God. It's only in God. And so here's what God wants to say to you. And thankfully, it's what He wants to say to me today. He says, I just want you to hold your hands up to me. And I want you to see what I'm going to put in your hands today. I have something I want to put in your hands today. Remember that the Israelites weren't to gather more than what they needed. A lot of times, I think if we're honest, we don't do this with God. We don't say, God, just fill my hands. We say, God, I got a garbage can here. It's 40 gallons, and I'd really like you to fill it full, right? I want enough for next week. I want enough for the week after that. And I don't have time to get into this today, but you know what that's called? It's called striving. You don't need to strive. You don't need, but we do that. We got the garbage can. We're carrying it like this. We're saying, God, fill it up more, more, more. I'm going to do more. I'm going to listen to more sermons. I'm going to hear more Christian radio, more, more, more. I'm going to do good things for you, God. Oh, I'm going to be powerful. I want to just do more, more, more. God goes, you don't need to do more. Because all you're doing? You're just getting full. And I didn't ever want you to get full. I wanted you to get complete. Fulfilled. I wanted you to be content. You can't get content with a garbage can. You can write that one down and staple it to your fridge. Right? You can't get content with a garbage can. You just need to know that He says, come to me with the bowl. Just like He said with the Israelites, just bring one bowl, just bring the bowl, and I'll fill it for today. And here's what I have to say to you today. What God has to give you is specifically for you, first of all. It's specifically for you.
He knows exactly, Kelvin, he knows exactly what you need. So in a few minutes, when we pray and you hold up the bowl, God knows what you need. He's going to give you what you need. Sherry, that's true. It's specifically for you. And what's for Kelvin might be different than what's for Rick, or different, you know, that's for me or for you, right? It's different, no? So what God has for you and what he wants to give you today is just for you. It's also something that's very good, because God only gives something that's very good. Just like the manna, it's very good. It's fresh. Every day it's fresh, right? When we hold our hands up to God today and say, Jesus, you're the bread of life. This is what we're going to be praying in just a few minutes. We say, Jesus, you're the bread of life, and I want you to give me what you want me to have. I can assure you this, it's going to be fresh. It's not going to be the same old stuff. It's going to be something fresh that you need in your life, right? And then one other thing that I can assure you of is that it's going to be what you need today. Exactly what you need today. And you will need to do this again tomorrow. You'll need to say, Jesus, fill my cup. Help me. Give me what you want me to give. Give it to me fresh. Now, I don't know exactly what you need. I can guess. I know what some of you need because you've told me. But this is what we want to do. Do you have that song, the Hungry Song, or not? If you can find it, just play it quietly in a minute. It's about, you know, this is about just being hungry for God. I think that what we can agree on today is that our hunger is for Jesus. And that he is the only one who can actually satisfy me. He's the only one who can fill me. No one else can. So I want you to think today, maybe just close your eyes a minute. And it's not because I'm worried that you're going to see what your neighbor's thinking or doing, but sometimes it's good just to close our eyes. I want you to ask Jesus this question. Just real soft. You say, Jesus, today I would just ask you, what do you want to put in my hands today? Jesus, what do you want to give me? And I just raise my hands to you. And if you feel like doing that, you can do that. I just want to receive Jesus. What's fresh? What is new? What is entirely from you? And what is specific for just me? God, you know, some of us are struggling. We're struggling with being good moms. We want to be good moms. So we just raise our hands up to you and say, Lord, help me to be a good mom. I need to be more patient. I want to be who you want me to be. So God, just receive that. Some of us are battling fear. If you're battling fear, just raise your hands up and make a bowl and say, God, fill my bowl, fill my cup. Right now, God, you remind me that there is no fear in perfect love. So, God, just put that perfect love in my hands. I reach out to you, Lord. Remove the fear, remove the dread, remove the horror, and replace it with your perfect love. You are the bread of life, and you said anyone who comes to me will not be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Thank you, God. There's some of us here today, we raise our hands because we feel so weak. I'm tired of being weak, and we're acknowledging today that we can't do this anymore. We never could on our own, so we just raise our hands to you. We can't do this. And it isn't true that we're able to always find a way out. The only way out is you. So God, in our weakness, like you say, it's when we are weak that we're strong. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. going to ask everyone, just put your hands together. Just cup your hands together. While we're listening to this, I don't know, I'm just going to say some things that I believe God is laying on my heart. God, we just want to receive. Yeah, it's time. Thank you, Jesus. God would say, well done. Happy birthday. Well done. My good and faithful servant. But I'm not done with you yet, Gertie. You have much to contribute to my kingdom. Thank you. And God would say, I've healed you for a purpose. And I love you, Anita. And there's so much more. And I see immense faith in you. Let that faith grow. Let me grow it in you. And I know that it's been a struggle, my daughter. I know. I understand. But I'm going to tell you now something, Joyce, that you already know. But that I've been with you all along. I was never not there. I was never not there. And all of that hard, lonely, dark stuff, it was for today. Yeah. It was preparing you to do what you already do. Be blessed, my daughter. Thank God. And I know there's some mothers here, so I'm going to do this sort of in a group, because I really felt God was, I'm going to stand here because there's some of you right in this circle here. And God's saying, You are mothers who are faithful. And it's time to stop looking behind you. It's time to stop thinking about what you could have done better. Could you have done better? Yes. But that's all behind you. And Jesus would say, I'm going to fill you with a new love and an ability to mother your children in a way you haven't been able to do before. Patience. That kindness and mercy will flow from you. And I give you everything you need. Everything you need. Just hunger for me. And you'll need this every day. You're going to need it today. You're going to need it tomorrow. You're going to need to be patient. You're going to need to be merciful again tomorrow. You're going to need to reflect my love again tomorrow. You are a precious mom. You hear me? God's saying that, Teresa. God says, you're a precious mom in the name of Jesus. And it's time to stop looking behind. You look behind too much, right? Yeah. You're going to start looking forward. You can't, listen, you cannot mother by looking in the rearview mirror. You can only mother by letting God take care of your mistakes in the past and do what you're doing. Follow him in the future. You are a mother of Israel. You are blessed. You are blessed. Just receive right now. Just receive what Jesus is giving you. Amen. And there's a new joy in you. There's a joy that is evident. There's a new joy, Doug. You are not the old Doug. You came back changed because of what Jesus has done in your life and what he's doing in your life. And all I hear God saying is, attaboy. Attaboy, Doug. Way to go. Let the joy shine in you. Thank you, Jesus. Receive the bread that comes from heaven. Receive it. Receive it. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Wait for you, so I wait for you. I wait for you. God loves you guys so much. He really does. Do you believe it? He loves you so much. And he just wants me to tell you that there's hope. Even though people around you say there's no hope, and sometimes in your own heart you don't believe it, there's great hope. He loves you. He loves you. The Lord bless you and keep you. Receive what God will give you today. It's not me. God says, I am Jesus. I am the bread of life. I've got something for you. You've got plans for you. I don't think you've believed that you've had a plan. You haven't been living like you got a plan, like there's a purpose. God has a purpose for you. He really does. He does. Thank you, Jesus. God satisfies. Okay, well, we're running out of time. I'm going to offer just a closing blessing. But if you still need some more prayer, Mike, I'm so glad that you stood up today. You know, when you stand up against that, you stand up against that demon, you stand up against that rage, it's a done deal, man, because it takes courage. You stand up, you do that. Yeah, we can clap. That's good. And we just do this today. I want you to think about this. We put our hands up to God. Maybe you were too, you know, you're too scared to do that in front of all these people. You know, you shouldn't be, because we're all the same. Get your hands out of your pockets. Get your hand. Tomorrow, when you wake up in the morning, you're going to need to do this again and say, God, I need the manna. I need the living bread. I need it again today. I need the patience. I need to be able to overcome the rage. I need the patience. I need to watch over. I need the love. I need the mercy. I need to be compassionate, right? I need it all. Tomorrow you'll need to raise your hands again. Injustice. There's been injustice in you. You've been treated badly. I know we're still going to quit, but just put your hands out. Put your hands out. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Luke. And you are my Luke. You're my Luke. And, it's time for you to lift up your face. It's time for you to lift up your face. Stop looking at your feet and start looking me in the eye. I am your God. I am your Jesus. And the shame that others have put on you is not yours. If anyone here wants more prayer or just wants a word, I just invite you. You know, you don't have to come to me. There's lots of other people. Let's pray for each other. Let's hold each other up. Let's hunger together for righteousness and for Jesus, right? I don't think that there's any one of us who isn't struggling with something. There isn't any one of us who's got it all together. And the ones who look like they got it all together are just good at looking like that. Right? And I'm not the answer, but Jesus is. Jesus Christ is the answer. Our hunger and our thirst should be for him. Why don't we all stand? Just stand up and receive this blessing from God. Just stand, and then let's just play that song one more time and just stay around. Stay around. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. The Lord give you his shalom. Amen. God bless you. Let's turn a little louder. Let's just worship that. I come. God bless you. So I wait.
So I wait for you. So I wait for you. I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me. Jesus, you're all this heart is living for.
Broken, I run to you for your answer.
I'm open wide.
I am weary, but I know your touch restores my life.
So I wait for you. So I wait.